News, your community and labor report. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nick.
The Coalition for an International Offensive to Free Mumia Abu-Jamal and all political prisoners is gaining momentum.
With solidarity actions planned for the court hearing on April 30th, which could eventually lead to his freedom.
After years of global community meetings, protests, petitions, and legal challenges, the People's Movement succeeded in taking Mumia off death row. Mumia now has become a name recognized such that it rivals top-tier athletes and entertainers and is considered a hero to all people seeking liberation, having inspired millions around the world who rally regularly on his behalf, demanding he receives release now or a new trial.
And in France, Mumia is considered a freedom fighter because of his advocacy for the oppressed everywhere. Mumia is the voice of the voiceless, who chronicles the legacy of people's struggles worldwide. And one of the greatest threats to U.S. imperialism is the uprising of young Mumias from the streets of Philadelphia to the streets of Paris.
Mumia has wrongly spent more than half his life in prison, most of which time was on death row and in solitary confinement, before the Supreme Court held that application of the death penalty to Mumia was unconstitutional and instead shackled him with a life sentence for a crime, the killing of a police officer, that he did not commit. We are honored to have in studio Jackie Otto, a union organizer and member of the General Confederation of Labor in France, the CGT, a national trade union center, the first of the five major French confederations of trade unions. He is co-chair of Libérons Mumia, and Patrick Kamenik, a retired journalist, who remains active in the union movement in the SNJ, part of the CGT, and with the National Union of Journalists, CGT. He is a representative of the European Federation of Journalists. And Dr. Claude Guillemot-Pujol, professor of American Studies in Tours and Clermont-Ferrand Universities, and author of a book about women in prison dedicated to the MOVE sisters, and in 2007 wrote the Abu-Jamal biography, A Free Man on Death Row. Our guests, at least two of them, one of our guests was not allowed in to see Mumia, the other two were. I want you to tell me what you can about that visit.
I speak first, and after I think Jackie could say words too. I've been visiting Mumia since 1995, so I've been a regular visitor on death row. Jackie joined me later in 2000. Once you step into death row, you just can't leave them behind. You've got to go on and keep visiting them. It's very disturbing for the guards to see that these people, which we think are just nobody, these death row prisoners, which we treat horribly, can have visitors, especially visitors from abroad. Seeing Mumia, the first time you see in this glass cabinet and you can touch him, and he's very charismatic, very proud, very bright, something you can never forget. You see such a person caged, you say, our democracies have a big problems.
J'ai rencontré donc avec Claude un grand nombre de fois Mumia Abu-Jamal.
I met Mumia many times with Claude.
D'abord dans le couloir de la mort, puis lorsque sa peine a été commuée, dans la prison où il se trouve actuellement à Frankville.
For a couple of times on death row and now in Frankville. What Jackie could add is that we were with Mumia the day the decision was taken about commuting his sentence to life in prison. We didn't know about what was going to happen.
Ce que je retiens de toutes ces visites, c'est que ce soit aujourd'hui ou lors des fois précédentes, depuis donc de très nombreuses fois, je suis toujours impressionné par l'homme qu'est Mumia.
Whether it was on death row or nowadays, is that I'm always very impressed by the man Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Par son parcours de journaliste.
First, because I've been a journalist.
Par son charisme.
So charismatic.
Par la communication, comme il est capable de transmettre lorsqu'on le rencontre même la première fois, on a l'impression de le connaître déjà depuis très longtemps.
It was impressive, but even if the first time you meet him, you think you have known him forever.
Et surtout par la force incroyable, il a un charisme physique aussi, mais la force incroyable de sa voix, de sa conviction et du combat qu'il mène en prison depuis tant d'années.
Because he's such a special voice, and because he's such a committed man, and because of the strength of his character, and how he can keep on fighting after all these years on death row and in prison today.
Et ce combat, en toute modestie, comme il nous le dit toujours, ou des fois il ne le dit pas, mais on le ressent, c'est le combat qu'il mène finalement pour tous les autres, tous ceux qui sont victimes d'incroyables injustices, comme c'est son cas.
Even if he doesn't say it, you know, he's not fighting just for himself, he's fighting for everybody. That's what's very incredible.
But you are labor activists, you are trade union activists, and you're here from France. And I'm sure many people are saying, why should people in France have such affection for our political prisoner? What does it mean for the French people? And where does this tie in to being labor activists in France?
Question I've been asked to me again and again in Philadelphia by the journalists from the Inquirer, of course, okay? What are you doing here? Don't you have French prisoners? And I've been repeating again and again, so I'm not interfering with your country, not at all. But that's kind of French history, European history. We always stood for Angela Davis, we stood for Mandela, we stood for all political prisoners anymore. And that's part of our history. Fighting for someone who has been oppressed is just fighting for all of us, out of solidarity. That's it.
But you have street signs with Mumia, you have, I think, towns named after Mumia. It's really something exceptional that we need to learn from you. What is it about Mumia and France that really clicks?
I don't have an explanation. Sometimes I can see something very shocking. I say Mumia is a lucky story. I think we bump into each other. We bump into city councillor. We felt concerned by the case. He's been made honorary citizen in something like 20 cities. Yes, he's got two streets named after him. I think he's a popular hero. He's got this big smiley face. He never complains. He writes beautiful books, like from Death Row. I just always say, just like the diary of Anne Frank for Jewish girl, you know. It's something which, if I say ordinary, it would be derogative, but that's something that's everyday life. It's a kind of love story. Jack is excellent also. He's a good organizer and fundraiser, you know. And we get donation. We've been doing a lot of money for Mumia campaign from very people with small revenue. We get $10, $20. And finally, that's a lot of money. That's the way you build love and solidarity.
Patrick?
As a journalist, I must say, he's part of our fight because he's one of ours. Even if he's an American, whatever nation, he's an ordinary member of our union. Therefore, I was so disappointed, so sad I couldn't visit him and translate for him all we've done for him and all the message we have received to support him. And the last thing we did, it's important, the International Federation of Journalists sent a letter to the governor of Pennsylvania to ask about the health of Mumia, to ask them to help Mumia for curing and giving back to a normal situation. Therefore, I think the fight is altogether a simple worker, journalist, because we are fighting for freedom of expression. The journalist who is beyond bars, we cannot leave that without fighting. And the same fight we have with our colleagues in Turkey. 150 colleagues are beyond bars in Turkey who are doing the same fight. But Mumia is a kind of a brother. It's nearly 30 years we are fighting with Jackie, with Claude, to free Mumia. And we will not let that down, even if I couldn't visit him in the jail. We will, of course, do as much as we can to help him with the new trial, with the possibility that Mumia will be someday in Paris.
Why couldn't you get in to visit him in the jail?
I didn't receive any official explanation. They just say you are not on the list. I suppose because maybe my former job prevent me to...
Your former job, which is journalist. Well, that's a good reason.
If I may say something, his brother Keith couldn't visit him yesterday. Mumia's brother was very sick. We came from North Carolina, and they turned him down. They said, you can't get in. He was very, very upset. And the reason was that Mumia already had visitors on Saturday, and visitors were us, because Kiev said we're coming from far away, and the guards said, yes, but French people come from further still, and they came on Saturday, so you can't get in, which is totally stupid. It should have been allowed in.
Well,
it's extremely cruel.
Part of the sadism, we're talking about a man who's been on death row, a man who's been in solitary for most of that, and who has been denied health care, and to this day is being denied the kind of health care he needs to live a comfortable life. But I see, Jackie, your story about what you think politically Mumia has meant and why it relates to the struggles indeed in France.
Pour répondre à votre question, je suis un militant syndical et très jeune, engagé. Je me suis, j'allais dire, j'ai appris dans mon travail de syndicaliste.
Age, I learned that all fights are connected and you have to be in solidarity with what happens around you and even on the international level. So that's part of my personal experience.
Remind you, our goal, our in our union CGT, if I can sum up what he said, the solidarity is the lead to our movement to help people like Mumia. Solidarity, if union like CGT in France, who was always fighting for the best situation for workers in our country, cannot look at what is happening in a country near France or in Africa or in South or North America and defend people who are suffering more than we are. And if we cannot help them to free from what the government or the bad laws they are fighting with, there is no real reason to be a unionist, because a unionist is not only for workers in your country, but for everybody in the world.
Now I see why they didn't let you into the prison.
Maybe.
You said to me you were a communist. I think so, and I think that's wonderful.
I know that the three of you have been traveling around the U.S. and are here to address certain meetings. I wonder if you could tell us where you've been and what you've seen.
We flew from Paris on Friday. We first planned to visit Mumia on Sunday. But we, when our friend Joanna called the prison, make sure to confirm that we are on the list. And the prison said we are confirmed for Saturday. So that's, you've got to be very flexible, you know. So finally we drove straight from the airport to Frankville, where Mumia's prison is. And we could visit him the next day. It was not very easy. You were kicked out. We kept us waiting, but finally we got in and we managed to talk with Mumia for 3 hours. One thing we should add is that Mumia always says something which is for all the people who are listening at the same time. He says, if I'm still alive, it's because I can feel the love of all these people around me. One of the things we ask people that to do at home for his birthday, for instance in April, is to send him a postcard from the place where they live, not a birthday postcard. So he gets to know all the places in France, for instance, and when we talk with him, he says, oh yes, this place is here, and it makes outside people real in a way for him, you know. That's very important. So we spent time with him, we fought with, you know, money to get him some food. We have very, very little food left, because that's the pleasure when you visit prisoners, you can buy them some food. And because food otherwise is not too good. So we spent something like 3 hours with Mumia. We don't want to stay too long because he's stuck. He can't go back to his cell after. It's something very complicated. You must always keep in mind that you are the outsider. You are going out back to your life. And whatever wrong thing you did wrong in the prison, they are going to be punished for that. We must always keep this in mind. I don't keep them talking for too long because he gets tired also. He still has very itchy king's skin, you know. And he can't sleep properly, so he gets very tired.
I'm sitting here with a new book that I have of Mumia. It's called Murder Incorporated, Empire, Genocide, Manifest Destiny, Dreaming of Empire. This is just book one, and it's thick and it's wonderful. And we've got this brilliant internationalist whose mind just leaps over all prison walls. And I'm wondering how much of the political ideas of Mumia through his commentaries, his prolific writing, his journalism, And that also affected and influenced the comrades in France. And indeed, you're going to have to then tell us something about the union movement, because it certainly is somewhat different than ours. Because while we have locals here who will support Mumia Abu-Jamal, the bulk of the union movement has a hard time in understanding beyond, if you will, bread and butter issues. And I'm not sure how much they understand of that these days. Maybe you can talk about the politics of Mumia and what that has meant to the French struggle, which you were all part of.
One of the issues for me, which is very important, is the fight against racism and solidarity, as I said earlier. This fight is one of the most important for us in our country, in our union. And I think what is fighting for more than 30 years in the death row, now in jail, all this description he's doing is writing about his condition, and not paying attention only to him, but working for other prisoners, giving his time to write book and having a radio commentary. All this for us is very important. It shows that solidarity and collective fight for a better world is the main activity Mumia is doing, and it comes to join our movement. This is why we are so close to Mumia.
Jackie?
Je veux dire d'abord qu'en France, le combat de solidarité pour Mumia s'est fédéré autour
The first thing, if so many people focus on Mumia because it has become an international symbol of the abolitionist movement, the anti-death penalty activist. That was the first focus. We have been, most of Mumia's book have been translated into French, so people know about Mumia's points of view on politics, mass incarceration, fight against capitalism and all that. So something that many people know, that's also why they got so interested in the case of Mumia.
And Jackie said that the fight was also for human rights. And this is very important because it was one of the main stones of our fight to show solidarity to Mumia. And it was the start of big demonstration we had in Paris and the way we could help him.
We can't let you go without also talking about Macron has launched a virulent attack on organized labor. And many of the media around the world, as they do here, claims that the economic problems are the problem of organized labor as they eke out a wage and whatever benefits. But labor movements are much more aggressive and much more strong in France. Can you tell us what's happening now as there are threats of major strikes and a showdown with President Macron? And, of course, we know what Mumia would say about that.
We'll ask him next time. But I must say the real problem is not the workers or the unions or the strikes or the demonstration. But the real problem is Macron himself, by the anti-social law he's trying to put on the table. We can describe him as a French Margaret Thatcher. If we let him go, he's going to destroy all our social benefits. All our unions since the Second World War, we succeed. All this kind of activity we did to erase them. Today, we show the last demonstration in Paris just before we came here. More than 200 demonstrations took place in France. Nearly 500,000 people demonstrate in the street, of course, mainly in Paris, but everywhere in small and bigger towns. Because people, they don't want the railways worker to be privatized. They don't want the public sector to be as we see in some countries where there are only private hospital, private transportation, and there is no more public spirit services. And that, I think, French people are not ready to support that. And therefore, there were many of them in the street. And the next month, big demonstration nationwide, and national railway workers are going to start strike 3 days in a month, and then they will start again working, and they will try to stop the antisocial law that Macron is trying to impose in France.
You know, Patrick, we had talked before about the letter that the International Association of Journalists sent to the governor of Pennsylvania with regard to Mumia. What was your role in that, and what is the significance of the International Federation of Journalists coming out in support of Mumia?
Therefore, we are very proud that this letter was sent, and it was prior to this letter, the last World Congress we had in Angers, we vote for a motion to support Mumia. It was the international solidarity among journalists who expressed him at that time, where Claude and Jackie were with us during this Congress in Angers. Therefore, we decide not to let the things more, but we ask now our federation to show more solidarity from all the world, from the 600,000 members of this international federation, and then we decide to send the letter to the governor, Tom Fall.
Tell us more about the state of the French unions and what we need to understand to, frankly, inspire us here, just as perhaps Mumia has inspired the politics of our comrades in France.
I'll let it to Jackie after, but I'll say one thing. I've been part of, I've been working with union organizers in the US, okay? And I've realized that there is such a difference between starting a union here and starting a union in France. Unions are part of French history. They have been part of the political history. They made French life what it is today. That's to say, free public school, free college education, more or less free hospital, national health service, you know. French people are not ready to give up welfare state. Of course, there will be discussion. Macron is very powerful, and part of the young people think it's the new generation. So that's the new event. I just can't tell. I don't know what's going to happen. But it's not going to be easy, and I think he should not forget that French people are used to our public services, and we're not ready to give up just like this.
Oui, je voulais revenir par rapport à la question que vous avez posée sur Monsieur Macron, pour dire deux choses, qui n'était ni de gauche ni de droite. Mais après ces quelques mois de présidence, on s'aperçoit qu'il est surtout de droite. Et être de droite,
so I want you to talk about Mr. Macron. He first said that he was neither a left-wing man or a right-wing man. He didn't belong to any party. After a few months in office, we realized that he really is a right-wing man. His target is to cut down on the rights of French workers and even European workers who are working in France. As Patrick said, he's trying to just take to pieces the public services. And he's just ignoring, you know, constitutional right and democratic process. For the first time, there's no debate in parliament, you know. He just ignore them. He just wants to have his own will. And even workers who voted for him are beginning to realize that it's not the man whom they thought he was. He criticized what former president did, whether socialist president or conservative president, but basically he's taking our whole institution to pieces. For a short time, people just watched and watched. Today, workers are taking to the street to fight back and tell Macron that they totally disagree. And he's trying to destroy what made the unity of the French people. Progress, national health service, and workers' rights at work, union rights, union leaders, and all that.
Mumia is an internationalist. You people are, as we would always say here, the workers have nothing to lose but their chains, and Ken always adds,
We have a world to win.
And we do have a world to win. In the last, if you could give us just a minute or two about your trip to the MOVE sisters, who, of course, Mumia always supported and worked with. And then we're going to bring in, lurking in the background, Suzanne Ross to tell people how they can mobilize for Brother Mumia.
Yeah. So after visiting Mumia, we just jump into the car to make it work. And we had 400 more miles to drive because we've got to realize that the sisters in a prison which is next to Lac Erie at the Canadian border, these women are very, very strong, very good sisters. They are good workers, social workers in the prison, you know. And I don't know, it's part of a family. It's difficult. It's always get very emotional when you speak about her because next August they will have spent 40 years in prison. Can you imagine?
No.
40 years.
Yes, no.
I'm worried about the three women left. Yes. Merle died in 1998. There's still Janine, Jeanette, and Debbie left. Debbie is very strong because she still has a husband in prison, but still alive. She has son, grandchildren. She has something to look to when she gets out of prison, because I'm sure she will. Janine, since her husband passed away 2 years ago, I think she is very tired. She finds it difficult to sleep. There are six women in a cell, plus the dog, which we are training for a year or 14 months. The prison get money for it. They get them as puppy, and when we get to 14 months or 15 months, they go to the training. So it's very heart-rending on top of everything because they take care of him. They must stay up at night, make sure, you know, the dogs are clean and all that, and after they just go away, but we'll never see them again. It's cruel all along, you know. And Janet is the last one, and it's hard for Janet because she has more or less no family apart from the move people. Since last year, when we walked out, and she said, okay, Claude, I'm coming to France with you when I get out. And I say, yes, okay, no problem, Janet, okay. Great woman, we need support. They're going to be paroled soon in May, and we need letters of support to get out of this hell.
Suzanne, we have about 2 minutes left. Suzanne Ross?
Well, what a great show. To the hosts, congratulations, and the guests. I was fascinated listening. For those of you who are listening, please remember this is a campaign, an international campaign. There are demonstrations all over the world, from South Africa to London to Paris to many other countries, Berlin and many other places, plus many right here in the United States. It was packed with activities here in New York and in Philadelphia. The big date, listen carefully, everybody, is April 30th of this year. And that is the day when we get a decision, presumably, unless they delay again, and we know their procrastinating tactics. The big decision on whether there will be a chance to review the entire case and potentially open up the possibility of Mumia finally being freed. Please call 212-330-8029 if you want to go on the bus that day from New York to Philadelphia. Again, that's 212-330-8029, and please check the website that covers all of these activities internationally and this country. That's freemumia.com. Again, www.freemumia.com. Please join this struggle that represents so much around the whole world.
And you are?
And I am Suzanne Ross.
Claude Guillaume-Pujol.
Jackie Otto.
Patrick Kamenka.
We're going to participate in the demonstrations on Labor.
May 1st,
of course. And we're going to dump Trump and Macron and free Mumia Abu-Jamal.
And all political prisoners.
Free them all. Thank you, dear comrades. This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.